Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Love that.
Well, but there you go. Can I ask you something?
Yeah, anything, bud.
Oh, it's an interview, so I probably should. Can I get a 50-50 shot out of you for college football this year? What do you think?
I mean, I guess that's kind of a cop-out answer. I mean, so yeah, sure.
Okay, well then give me
I mean, nobody knows, so like, yeah, 50-50 is good. If I had to put money on it, I'd probably be more like 20% football. Maybe 50-50 that one game is played, but I mean, I guess it depends on what parameters you want to put on it. Full season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's already not a full season, so I guess that's stupid. But I just think that there's a lot of moving parts here and, you know, trying to figure out, like, all the things that have to occur for this to actually work. I mean, I would put it under 50% if it were me.
Lima?
Ari, it seems like things have trended in a bad direction in recent days. Obviously, Gene Smith saying what he said yesterday, the Ivy Leagues doing what they did yesterday, the conference schedule stuff, and some of the lower-tier teams saying, no, there's no chance we could pull this off. So I guess the question is, if in professional sports we're doing bubbles and we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to ensure the safety and the integrity of the bubble, what are we doing for student-athletes who are not getting paid and this is not their job?
And that's it. That's the whole thing right there. So, like, the idea that the Big Ten canceled a few games, I mean, you can look at it two ways. One, you can look at it like the NCAA tournament, and when the conference tournaments were getting canceled and things were getting canceled incrementally, and then all of a sudden they bagged the entire NCAA tournament. I don't view what happened in college football yesterday as that. I view it as them removing three games off their schedule that don't ultimately count towards conference championships to free up September and give them a chance to kind of work with this thing here to see if they can have some flexibility with the dates. So I don't necessarily think that this is a domino that fell in terms of the first thing that's going to happen before everything gets canceled. I think it's possible that's what happened, but that's not how I view it. I view it as them giving themselves options in a time during which they need more time. But that's the whole thing right there, Anthony. Like, how is this doable? And I don't know if they have the answer to that yet. Like, yeah, I mean, you have bubbles in the professional sports. You've got guys who are showing up to stadiums who are making money the same way you're in a radio studio right now doing your job. People have to go into public to do their jobs, and professional athletes, I guess you could rationalize it that way. But, like, what is an acceptable thing for unpaid student athletes? Do you have to concede that some of them are going to get sick? Or do you try to do it in a scenario where you have to say no one is? Like, honestly, I think it's pretty clear that people are going to get sick if they do this. So how far can you take it before it's not right, you know? And maybe one person getting sick without getting paid so the NCAA and these colleges can make all their TV money isn't right. But it's just a matter of, like, there has to be a concession of, you know, endangering people who are not being paid. And I just think, like, we're going to get to a point now where it's not is there going to be a season, but more so should we have one for ethical reasons. And exposing teenagers and young kids to potentially getting sick for TV money might seem that ethical to me. So, you know, when you ask the question, what can be done or what needs to be done. It's a very hard, complex situation, and I think the reason why I'm not so confident about college football happening is because it's unpaid labor.
Yeah, Ari, and I get people are going to – kids are going to have to risk internships maybe if corporations are even giving them or granting them, which I maybe that's not even the case. So I don't want to make it seem like players aren't getting anything from this. They want to go put on a show and put more stuff on film, and 99.9% of them are going to be healthy and they're going to be fine if they get the virus. With all of that said, do you think there are agents or people in their ears saying, hey, especially if you're older, we got enough on tape. This just isn't worth it.
You mean if they played in the fall season, why would Justin Fields play football this year?
I'm saying like, it all.
You beat
me
to it.
Not just spring. I'm saying fall, too. Justin Fields is going to be a top five draft pick, whether he plays or not.
I agree. I agree. You know, and I guess Fields is probably the most pure example of this because he's a numbered one or two pick in the draft no matter what. But if you're in a situation where you know you're going to be a first-round pick, I wouldn't put myself in a situation where I'm in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center with 150 other people and an outbreak could happen at any moment. I would be training out in Malibu by myself at the beach getting ready for the draft. So, like, I know that this is kind of an unprecedented time, but, like, the other thing, too, you have to consider is, you know, I was talking about this with some other people, but if you're a cornerback that's going to be a first-round draft pick on one of these college teams, and your quarterback gets sick, and you know you're a first-round pick, but your quarterback's out with the virus and you're not ill, why would you risk your body in a game you're probably going to lose because your quarterback's not playing? So I think that there's other situations, too, where people are going to look around and go, why am I playing in this football game right now if they still play? So what you said during the question is 99.9% of the kids are going to be fine and not going to have long-term effects or aren't going to get sick or aren't going to have any illness or issues related to the illness. Well, I don't know if that's an acceptable thing to say. And maybe it is, and if it is, that's fine. They're going to have to play, but I don't know that you can go into a situation where everybody knows the NCAA is going to push this to the furthest extent so that they can get their TV money while relying on labor that's free. It's like an unethical discussion. So, like, you know, how far can you push it? I don't know. I mean, how maybe this is going to be the break of amateurism, and they're just going to have to pay these guys. And if they do, then that'll make more sense. But in terms of why somebody would play, I wouldn't play if I were Justin Fields.
Ari Wasserman joining us on the show. We don't have a whole lot of time. Is spring football something that's feasible overall? Not just for like Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence and all that stuff, say that they're out, but is it something that can be done and then turn right around and play college football in the fall again?
I don't think they can play 29 games or 28 games at minimum in one calendar year. Yeah. I just don't think that can happen. So, like, if the spring does happen, you're going to have to figure out a way to get the NFL to move their draft, because you don't want 35% of the entire college rosters to play as they get prepared for the draft. And then, two, if you play in the spring, when do you start? February in the middle of winter? Or do you push it back a little bit further? Are we guaranteed that we're going to be through this and ready to play in February? Because I don't know that that's necessarily the case. So in March, everybody was like, this is going to be fine by September, and here we are. Like, I don't know, like, if we could even – if spring is far enough away for us to feel good about that. And then, two, what are you going to do with the following season? Like, are you going to shorten two seasons? Are you going to – there's just so many different things that would have to occur for that to make sense. And I'm not sure how you fit it in. So, like, all these questions are super complex, and I know we only have 10 minutes, so, like, it's hard to really get really deep into it. But – it's not like just like, can this work? It's like there are a thousand things that have to be considered in order to even make that a tangible possibility.
Oh, no. I took too many calls about what they want to change the Indians' name to, so I have to end it now because
we're out of time.
Ending. Yeah.
Right, we don't have any time at all. We could ask you a long-winded question and just hand the show over to Baskin and Phelps.
They would probably actually enjoy that. So, I mean, we got that going for us. Sorry.
I mean, I think this stuff's interesting. I'll talk about this all day, but, you know, Chief Wahoo, I think, probably takes precedent up there, huh?
More than likely. Hey, real quick. Well, if you had to rename the Indians, what would you name them?
You know, I don't know, but I think all the names that I've seen so far kind of suck.
Yeah, that's kind of.
And on that note, yeah, we'll close the week down.
Ari, thank you very much, my friend.
All right. I'll see you guys.
See you, Ari Wasserman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.